Okay.
Let's be 5x5 and then we'll just scan 318. We will reconvene the recess waiting public safety subcommittee for Wednesday, July 21, and reopen the work session on Senate Bill 555. Since we've all last met, it seems we've all been meeting, and I am, again, as I close the meeting, I'm very proud of this committee, and I think we've worked out some very acceptable compromises that result in excellent public policy for the people of the state of Oregon. And I mean that very sincerely. I am very proud of each and every member that's here and the efforts they've made to get to where we are right now, which is at a consensus on some pretty sticky issues. I'm happy to report that on the Dash 16, we've come to some streamlined language that will be included within the bill that satisfies Representative Cruz's interest in.
Representative Cruz is here. Why don't you sit in Senator Tim's seat? I've asked him to sit in on the committee. With regard to the Dash 22s, with regard to the Dash 22s, Pam Curtis from the governor's office has agreed to don the bulletproof vest and asbestos clothing and answer some questions from Representative Cruz with regard to insulating certain commissions, functions, and funding streams that have been provided by the legislature for programs. Leadership thinks is important, and so I thank you, Pam. And I'm also very happy to report that through the graciousness of Representative Mannix, and let's make no mistake about this, I don't think he's the biggest supporter of second work in the building, and through the good offices of the Speaker of the House, she has agreed to allow Representative Mannix to reconvene his committee for what she facetiously said should be a three-gavel meeting, one to open it, one to so order the second look bill to the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, and one to close the meeting. So we will see if the good representative is restrained. I'm sure he will. But anyway, to the good offices of Speaker of the House.
That was possible.
Okay, it's a real positive. We're going to... second look will be coming down here, and I think that's break from log jams, and we are ready to move forward on Senate Bill 555. And again, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, I thank each and every committee member here. Seeing the hurry up sign from Representative Schrader, I had to brag on
this
guy.
That was taking up all the time.
Yeah. We have a couple of amendments. Let's just go through those first. Sheila, go ahead.
In front of you, there's a proposed conceptual amendment to Senate Bill 555-D. This was as a result of the subcommittee's discussion earlier today, and would replace the proposed -A16 amendments relating to the performance audit scope and activities. Basically, what this amendment does is to the existing language in the bill, which I've attached the Section 46 description of the audit, it adds a section so that audit would include an evaluation of the local comprehensive plan and the planning process in four counties in different regions of the state and different population levels, so that in addition to looking at the state agencies and the local commissions and the other information that's required in Section 46 already, there would also be a review of the local plan and the planning process.
Thank you, Sheila. Do I have a motion to incorporate the proposed conceptual amendments as represented by LFO into the bill?
So moved.
Senator Hannon has moved the proposed conceptual amendments.
You want us to do it out in the public?
Senator Hannon has moved the proposed conceptual amendments as reflected by LFO regarding auditing and performance evaluation in the bill. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. We've further agreed that it's in the best interest of the public that we have a definition of exactly what I think is appropriately described as what will not happen to any of the CASA relief nursery, some of the existing funding streams, mostly in 5548. And so with that, let me call Pam Curtis to the witness stand, and I will allow Representative Cruz to ask a few questions for the record, just so we all understand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am State Representative Jeff Cruz, District 45, and thank you for allowing me a moment of your time. I would first off like to say that these are better chairs than I had 2 years ago when I was on this sub. We have some concerns over funding streams, and first off, let me say, Pam, I appreciate the cooperation that we have had on this thing and to try to get to some consensus on some issues. And we have never diverged on what the ultimate outcome of these programs should be. I think we've always been in agreement on that. We have differed from time to time on how we get from point A to point B, and I appreciate your willingness to work on this. The GAS 23s were basically talking about funding streams and trying to assure that money that is supposed to go certain places does indeed end up going there. And so for the purpose of having things on the record, knowing full well that the interim committees of the legislature, as well as many other folks, will be involved in the evolution of this process, I just thought for the record I would say that the programs of prime concern at this point would certainly be the ones Representative Westland mentioned, that being Healthy Start, Relief Nurseries, Family Centers, CASA, First Step, which were specifically funded in
5548.
But in addition to those would be current legislative designated funds for the Student Retention Initiative, Juvenile Services, and Great Start, as well as the federal and general funds for youth investment and family preservation and support. And so we just wanted on the record that the integrity of those programs and their funds is going to be secure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, for the record, by the way, Pam Curtis, policy analyst in the Governor's Office of Healthcare, Human Services, and Labor. Appreciate the opportunity to respond. As you all know, House Bill 5548, which contains the Commission on Children and Families budget as well as the Youth Authority budget, has not yet gotten all the way through this body. But once we achieve sine die, the Governor will honor both the program and budget integrity in 5548 and for both the Commission and the Youth Authority, but I know you're concerned about the Commission. And also wanted to state for the record, he will actively support the role for the Commission on Children and Families, both state and local, as it's articulated in Senate Bill 555, in carrying out the budget that's appropriated to them in House Bill 5548.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, just for the record, let me say that I know that there's probably going to be more money I come into the juvenile justice piece of this probably sometime before Sunday, but I fully support that. Our intention is to begin the session with to fully fund that and fully fund several other programs that we just have not been able to find the revenue to do. So for me, this has never been a battle between programs. It's been a battle to try to enhance all programs. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I appreciate both of you and Ms. Curtis coming and your questions. I've always seen these as two rails going in one direction, forming a railroad track. I don't see this mutually exclusive whatsoever. And I appreciate the questions. I appreciate very much the answer. And if you have any other questions from the committee for Ms. Curtis, as long as you're sure. Representative Bozanski?
Mr. Chair, I've really got to have a bill on the floor that talks about funding. One of the programs was a great start. Can we just put on the record for my own information exactly how broad that program is and what that includes? I'm not familiar with Great Start as an entity as compared to some of the other ones. I mean, we talked about it, but I don't know if we have exactly on the record.
Great Start is 0-6. And it's a very, I think one of its benefits is it's a very flexible program. I mean, it's designed to meet very broad range of categories. It could overlap into several other programs. There's no way to cubbyhole or succinctly describe exactly the services it offers.
Which department? Who is it under?
It's going to go through the local commissions.
Okay.
It's locally administered program. It's not one of these things where go down the hall and see such and such. I mean, if a kid comes in with some health needs, some educational needs, and who knows what else, substance abuse and parent needs, and that's the program that's designed to
supplement stuff on Head Start and other type of programs.
I see this kind of, fill some of the holes. Some of the other rifle shot type programs don't specifically address.
Is it in existence now, or is this something that's going to be involved?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm
getting the information.
Okay.
Doing good? Mr. Chair, if I could just respond briefly to Representative Pozanski, and that is a good question, which is a big reason for the system's out of peace, because we have so many good programs that kind of serve similar, if not the same, sorts of populations, and we don't have a global look to see where the funds could be commingled, where we can do a better job, more efficient job of the service delivery.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Senator Hannah?
Is there any addition to language or issue that we have to adopt in the budget note? It looks like it's been expanded.
Yeah, we want to substitute a new budget note.
I would move the new budget note by LFO recommendation.
As represented, Senator Hannon has moved the new budget note, substitute for the old budget note. Any discussion? Deals with the same subject, moves some dates around, quantifies three counties as opposed to one. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 555 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a dispatch recommendation.
Any discussion?
We're going to see second look when, and can we see the amendments beforehand, or some of the information beforehand?
Sure. I don't know. I mean, part of it's as soon as the speaker opens up, Representative Mannix's committee. I think we're all under a time gun.
Okay. Good. But sir, do we need to be moving this into the bill?
That is the new agenda bill.
Done.
Okay.
That is done.
We're good already.
New budget now. Taking care of the 16s, we're taking care of the 22s. We have a motion on the table to move Senate Bill 555 as amended in full committee with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none? So ordered. I am really proud of all of it. This is good work. This is great work. Thank you very much. Carriers.
And through the Senate.
We have carriers, send carriers. That's good. Okay. Wherever they are, you're on tap. Okay.
What about 318?
We're going to do that right now. Thank you very much. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 555 and open the work session on Senate Bill 318 relating to protective orders.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 318 came to us initially with $159,700 fiscal impact. The fiscal impact was related to an additional review procedure that was required
for these cases. The bill has been amended with the Dash B6 amendment to remove that requirement, thereby eliminating the fiscal. The bill also has Dash B8 amendments that clarify that any action taken, entered against a minor, can be done without the appointment of a guardian.
Mr. Chairman, I'm in work session.
We are in work session.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate Bill 318-D6 amendment, dated
7-8-99. Hold on, catching up. Excuse me, what did you say?
I would move the SB 318-D6 amendment, dated 7-8-99, to be engrossed in Senate Bill 318.
Senator Hannon has moved the B6 B6 amendments to be engrossed. 318. Any discussion?
We're adding the amendments right now.
Yeah, that's all of them.
The words, Mr. Chairman, I would now move the B8 amendment. Senate Bill 318.
Senator Hannon has moved the B8 amendment to Senate Bill 318. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
And that removes all fiscal impacts of the bill. I would move Senate Bill 318 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hannon has moved Senate Bill 318 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Mannix.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. This bill has been through a substantive committee on the Senate side. Has it been through a substantive committee on the House side?
We're just checking that out.
That's what we have.
Excuse me?
I'm checking to see if this has been through a substantive committee on the House side.
Yes, it's on the Senate side.
Civil Judiciary, I believe.
Yes.
It goes to the Civil Judiciary Committee on the House side, chaired by Senator Representative Shetterly. Or the Senator Brown
Committee. Senate Committee on Judiciary.
I hear Senate Committee on Judiciary. Do I hear House Committee on Judiciary?
It does not look like it.
Yes.
It has been?
Yes. Do you have time to explain that?
Sure. Not on the.
Mr. Chairman, David Neagle from the Oregon Law Center was in Senate Judiciary. It came out in A votes form from Senate Judiciary. It was referred to House Civil Judiciary. When it got to the House, there's a public hearing on the 17th of May, and it was sent out with amendments to this committee on the 25th from May 25th from Civil Judiciary.
And the reason I inquired, Mr. Chairman, is the sense of the subject, and I wanted to make sure that one of our substitutes looked at a bill like this. A lot of bills, I haven't raised that question on. The Senate seems to be looking at every House bill that Senate Judiciary seems to want to look at every House bill that comes out of the Ways and Means Committee, but we've not been quite so insistent on the House side. And on this bill, I wanted to make sure one of the two House Judiciary Committees had looked at it. Thank you.
If it has. Yeah. David, why don't you just sit there. Any other discussion on the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordon.
I note from the background information provided in the staff measure summary that in 1994, Congress, as part of the Violence Against Women, authorized the FBI to create a registry for state protective orders, and that Congress also appropriated funds to assist states in adjusting their state computer systems to accommodate the federal registry. Did we get the funds? Did we accomplish that task of adjusting our computer program, our computer system?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, I really don't know. I would need to check and see if there was funding provided to the state police. I'm assuming we'll be keeping that registry.
David, do you have any?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, there is the law enforcement data system that exists within the state police that that is Oregon's registered for protective orders. There's also a National Protection Order Registry that this bill actually facilitates Oregon orders getting into a national registry as well as into our state registry. So yes, there has that issue I think has been addressed. I don't know what funds the state specifically has received under the bill you refer to set up the LED system.
Okay, so we don't know. We don't know if the computer system was adapted. That's what we heard. Okay.
Good question. And Dave, maybe if you could look into some of those federal funds and see what the flow is, because I think Senator Gordley has an excellent point.
Yeah, I think that's our job. I don't know that two thousand, you know, for me to take issue. That's our responsibility. Those funds came to the state, apparently, to be used for a specific purpose, to adapt our computer system so that we can track these protective orders as under the Violence Against Women Act. So I just want to know if we did that. This was supposed to happen back in 1994. It's now 1999.
Sure. I don't know if this shouldn't hold up the bill, but we could definitely ask Captain Smith who would be able to give us that information.
And I don't want to hold up the bill, but I do want to answer to the question.
I'll tell you what, Dave, we got a deal you can't refuse. The ever-effervescent Robin Lamont will ask Larry Neiswinter and get back to you an answer before your chair is cooled off. I think so, but let's not delay.
While we're talking, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would indicate for the record that I support the bill of the amendment. Where I speak to any member of Congress now, though, I say I'm getting sick and tired of Congress telling us that we have to tell our judges to add certificates of compliance to their orders. There's a lot of insulting garbage that's coming down from Congress. It's one thing to comply with federal law in order to get federal funds, but now we're telling our judges they have to add certificates to their orders that they've complied with federal law. And to me, it's adding insult to injury to do that kind of thing. Now, I grant you, in order to get those needed funds, we'll go through this process. But if you look at the Sixth Amendment, here it is. The judge has to add this certificate to his order. Sort of like saying, yeah, I've complied with the law. Thanks very much. Anyway, it's just a comment, Mr. Chairman. It shows me, I mean, and I have to admit, this Congress is controlled by the Republican Party, which likes to say that they each complain about the federal government telling the state what to do. They're still telling the state what to do. It's just in another area. All right, I feel better.
Well, we feel worse. But now we're ready. Thank you.
The certificate of compliance is just to say that we're doing something with the violence against women.
It's just a matter of why should a judge who's issuing an order have to certify that he's complied with a federal mandate? That's up to the bureaucrats when they're applying for grants and pulling out grant report forms. That's just my view.
So kind of that easier. You know, it's a matter of perspective. Look at how long it took women to get the right to vote. Kind of waiting around for.
I tell you what, we are going to continue this conversation at a later date. In the meantime, we're going to do what the people send us here to do, which is exercise constitutional practices in moving this bill.
Move the previous question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hannah has moved Senate Bill, the D. N. Gross Senate Bill 318 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Representative Patrick.
Well, I did have some questions, but I didn't have any previous questions.
You didn't really.
I did.
I asked for discussion. Any questions?
I just have some concern about the firearms language that was put into this bill, that was amended into this bill. I want to know about the sufficiency pieces that are in there, the 18 U.S. Code 922, D8, and T8. By preponderance of the evidence, you're taking away people's constitutional rights if there's a risk there. I want to know what the court is going to weigh if they're going to order.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I believe that 18 U.S.C. 922, those sections that you cited, talk about the hearing, the due process required for in order to have the effect of preventing a respondent from having firearms. And I'm not sure that I have the language with me, but they require a hearing of which the respondent has had notice and an opportunity to be heard. I think that's the generic language that's used in the federal statute for both stalking orders and the equivalent of our family abuse prevention task order.
I can see his mind still going.
I'm just concerned with a probable cause requirement. It's a probable cause requirement to take away. I don't mind taking away, telling them what they can do in whatever order in regards to firearms, but this is in the initial citation or initial order, at least the way I'm reading it, prior to the person having a hearing, even though it said if the respondent was provided notice and opportunity to be heard. So I'm trying to see if that's the final order or not. And I'm not comfortable at this stage in the game without seeing 18 U.S. Code 922. I'm open to looking at that, but I'm not prepared to give it an I vote forward without knowing what some of that is and what the standard of proof is going to be. I mean, when we incarcerate someone or we do something like that, we have, you know, probable cause requirements. But here we're talking about, you know, lower preponderance of the evidence.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I just been handed the section under discussion, and it says G8 says.
I'd like to hear from the. I realize you're here on behalf of the. But I'd like to hear from the courts about what they're. I mean, the courts are the ones who are going to interpret this. They're going to have to have a procedure.
Well, the reason I asked whether this had been through a substantive committee on the House side was that gives me my assurance that our learned Civil Judiciary Committee has had an opportunity to review this along with the learned Senate Judiciary Committee. Having heard that, my confidence level went up considerably. Had it not been that case, I would have asked that we make sure it goes to one of our substantive committees. But since we are here as a fiscal committee, I'm satisfied that the substantive work has been done. I share some of Representative Patrick's concerns, and had it not been through our substantive civil judiciary committee, I might want to proceed further. But it's not necessary for me to be supportive of the bill, as long as I know that we're looking at the fiscal aspect of it, which is what our job is. In fact, being a chair of a substantive committee, I get a little resentful in ways and means start to fudge around with the substantive part, except when we make deals to reduce the fiscal impact so that we can get bills out of here.
Chair, I think it does have a substantial fiscal impact in terms of what types of hearings are going to be performed, what kind of impact that's going to have on the court, and what kind of impact that's going to have on career prosecutors or other things on the charge for this. And I think that there is a relevant fiscal piece.
I thought David finished answering the question that you initially asked.
Chair, and Representative Patridge, the statute quoted, the substance of the statute says, it shall be unlawful for any person who is subject to a court order that A, was issued after a hearing of which such person received actual notice and at which such person had an opportunity to participate. B, restrain such person from harassing, stalking, or threatening an intimate partner of such person or child of such intimate partner or person, or engaging in other conduct that would place an intimate partner in reasonable fear of bodily injury to the partner or child, and C, 1, include the finding that such person represents a credible threat to the physical safety of such intimate partner or child, or 2, by its terms, explicitly prohibits the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against such intimate partner or child that would reasonably be expected to cause bodily injury. That's 18 U.S.C. 922 G8. So that's one of the statutes. And I think D8 is parallel. Actually, I have that too.
David, I'll tell you what, we've got some members that have been on either in this committee room or on the floor or the Senate all day that haven't eaten. I appreciate your willingness to answer that question. We're just going to do a thumbs up, thumbs down right here, right now, and bury it or send it off to followers one way or another. So I'm not trying to jam this down anybody, so I'll blow your conscience, but I'm hungry too. Is it you, Senator?
Yes, sir.
Senator Hannon moved. We moved Senate Bill 318 as amended to full committee with due pass recommendation. Do we have any further discussion? Thank you.
I
didn't have to give it a courtesy vote. I said vote this thing up or down. Do we have any objections?
Seeing none, so ordered.
Representative Patrick wants to carry this on the House floor.
I'll carry it on the House floor.
Senator Gordley, Representative Hansen on the House floor, Senator Gordley on the Senate floor, and
it's been through the Senate, I believe.
There's more governors, I don't know, they're so small.
You've got to go to
the Senate floor.
Oh, that'll be me, bro. He always handled the concurrence.
Well, Senator Tim.
Yeah.
Senator Tim.
All
right. Did we get those
bills? Yeah.
Larry, did you get those bills?
I'm not
comfortable.
Oh,
okay. Okay. I don't trust the people in regards to finance and investment implications.
So we did get several
One-time shot. We get the infrastructure, technological infrastructure, one-time shot, and we've got to pay for 2 minutes.
Okay.
No, I appreciate that.
I think it's part of
the land. So I mean, okay. I trust John impeccable.
Okay.
But I'm just not comfortable moving forward.
And we will adjourn.
Thank you.